welcome to Tabletop Tommies, episode 5. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Phil.
And today we've got a very special guest, our very first guest on the podcast. A bit of a legend of the bolt action scene. I've been at quite a few of his events. You often hear him referred to as the Old Major. It is Mark, the tournament organiser for the Welsh Open. Do you want to say hello, Mark?
Hello, lads.
How's it going?
Yeah, it's good, good, good.
Good, good.
Glad to be on. Feel honoured being your first guest.
We're honoured to have you on the show, Mark. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we thought we'd get you on to talk about the Welsh Open, because we have been banging on about it a bit on the podcast. So I thought we'd get you on, talk to you about your experience of bolt action and the Welsh Open in general. So my first question that I wanted to ask you was, how long have you been playing bolt action?
Oh, man, that's going back a bit. So I reckon it would be maybe 12 years.
That is a while.
That's a long time.
Not too long after it first came out. Yeah. So I've seen some changes in the game.
Yeah, what were you playing before that? Or was bolt action your first game?
No, I've been... I'm mouldy and old, so I've played all the GW stuff. So Fantasy Battle, 40K, various versions of that going way back. But I suppose the game that I was playing competitively before bolt action was Lord of the Rings.
Nice, okay. Yeah.
Used to do all their tournaments.
And was it, Mark, was it a jump competitively from Lord of the Rings into bolt action as a competitive game, or was it initially just because of the theme and history and that sort of stuff?
The theme. I'm a real history buff. It's what I do for a living, really. So World War II was something I always wanted to have a go with gaming-wise, but I'd never really taken the plunge.
Okay.
And then a couple of lads decided that they were going to get armies, and initially I was thinking of going sort of 15 mil, really, or in the old days, every World War II was all 20 mil. So this idea of going 28 mil was, ooh, okay. So took the plunge and really bought into it very quickly, not from a competitive point of view, but just because it's a good game. You know, it was the dice mechanic that really grabbed me. I've never played anything sort of quite like that before.
Yeah, it's unique.
Sort of traditionally, I'd always played sort of I go, you go games, and you get that classic 40K thing, don't you? If you sit there for an hour while somebody else does a very long, drawn-out turn, killing all of your guys. and this was different. It just sort of allowed you to engage in the excitement of, you know, what's the next dice, you know? What am I going to do? Do I want the next dice? Do I not want the next dice?
Yeah.
That's what grabbed my attention, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing when people talk about why they play bolt action. That is the main thing people say, isn't it? It's the dice mechanic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really engaging, isn't it? You both feel sort of caught up in the game as opposed to just sit back in your chair and let somebody carry on for an hour.
Yeah, bit of excitement when you're just desperate for that next dice.
Yeah.
So is it now your main game you play? Because I know you play a lot of the other historicals as well.
No, I wouldn't say it's my main game. I suppose since COVID, I've started to play a few more other things. Now I still play probably once a week, once a fortnight, something around there.
Yeah.
Still the game I TO for the most.
Well, on that note, when did you start TOing? The bolt action one specifically?
I guess about 7 years ago, something like that. So with the Welsh Open, I think this year it's the 10th Welsh Open. So that we had one missing year because of COVID. I wasn't involved in the first year, and then I played as a player for 4 years, I think. Mm-hmm. And then one of the main guys who was fronting it was a guy called Jack from down in Cardiff. Him and Ian had always done it, and Jack got a new job and sort of got out of sort of playing on a regular basis, couldn't do it, and I'd been sort of helping out as a sort of go and ask Mark for rules queries and bring in 3, then 4, then 10 tables, you know, it was like that. So I said to Ian, Ian's great at the sort of the logistical side of running a tournament, so inputting all the results, all that side of things, which I find a real bore, like, to be honest. where my forte is in the sort of like the people side of it, really, and
Yeah, sure.
the front in it. So it just naturally felt an easy combination of Ian carrying on with his sort of logistics side of it all, and me doing the bit that Jack used to do. So that would be about 7 years ago.
Okay. And is it still Ian and yourself who are leading it at the moment, or is Ian taking a step back, or?
Well, last year Ian couldn't do it because just the way that it falls, it's historically it's always been on the second weekend of September, which happens with that sort of your yearly sort of extra couple of days crawl has ended up on his wedding anniversary.
Right.
So he couldn't do it last year, so he will be back. We've changed it to the third weekend now,
Oh, okay.
so that frees Ian up a little bit.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're back to the good old team.
Cool.
Fantastic. So, what should we expect when we turn up to the Welsh Open this year?
I'm sort of reinforcing the change that I did last year, which was to go to theatre list only,
Yeah.
which I think worked really well. And anybody who wasn't sort of used to doing theatre lists and just doing generic, there is pretty much a theatre for your army that you can find that your generic list will fit into, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So I'm carrying on with that. I'm on a sort of, it's not broken, so I'm not going to fix it type of thing. There'll just be some new tables. Always try and make sure there's another couple of extra tables that haven't been brought before. For me, the focus is very much trying to get the terrain looking good. So there'll be a couple of new debut tables going on.
Yeah.
There's always some good ones, to be fair.
I like pretty tables. And I've added some extra theatre lists rather than just sort of bombing last year with sort of 100 different new theatre lists people could play with. I've sort of tried to trickle it through, so I've added probably another 20,
Okay.
25
Yeah.
theatre lists.
I know you're doing the theatre list to keep it nice and sort of beginner friendly, as
Yes.
well as sort of giving the old hands something new to play.
Exactly. That's where I'm coming from on this, really. A lot of theatre lists, people get scared of theatre lists a bit, I think. And there are one or two that can jump out at you, like CeeLo Heights, for instance. But for every CeeLo Heights, there's probably three or four that nobody has ever played because they're
Yeah.
just broken the other way. That you would never win with in a month of Sundays unless you were an
Sure.
incredibly good player.
Like the Sea Lion Brandenburgers, where all you've got is pistols.
Yes, exactly. So there's the new changes. I've tweaked some of the tertiaries a little bit.
That's something that I've not seen at many other events, and I went to the Welsh Open last year for the first time, and really appreciated the fact that, as well as the mission and the secondaries, I was also looking to achieve the tertiaries over the course of the five games.
Yeah, I will freely admit that's not something I added. That was something that was in there from the get-go, I think. But I've fully on board with it because I remember being as a player that I really enjoyed that aspect. Because there are those times when the game's gone. You know you're not going to win. But there's still something that you can plumb for. There's still something that you can go for.
Yeah, it's good fun.
And there is that idea of over the five games, which ones do you take? Do you take the easy ones quickly, or do you take the harder ones to give yourself a better chance of getting the easy ones later on?
Sure.
It's usually the hard ones that I take early, because I've been coming to the Welsh Open a few years now, and that's always been my strategy, where the ones like indirect fire tank and knock it out, the ones that so rare gonna get, if that comes up, that'll be ticked. But yeah, the tables are always very good, and there's always a great atmosphere there. I mean, that's the reason I've been going back year after year.
Yeah, it's a very different tournament compared to everything else that's out there, and always has been. It's been a bit of an outlier, I would say. But when I used to do the Sounds of Battle podcast, and one of my fallback phrases was that bolt action is a broad church.
And I think, you can take that off the bingo card now. He said it.
And I think, you know, if every tournament was the same, it would be that would be bad for the game.
Yeah,
Having different tournaments that throw up different connotations of play and rewards different styles of gaming, and just makes people think or allows them to bring something that they can't normally use. Or
yeah, I agree. We need more variety. Yeah, I'd say, variety's good in the tournament scene, because that's what this one's great for, the Welsh Open. And I've stopped generally looking at the generic platoon tournaments, apart from like the nationals maybe, because I like the competitive scene. But for sort of like a friendly sort of weekender, I want to run something a bit interesting from one of the theatre books, where you're having to build an army in a way you never usually would.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You then have to think about, well, how am I going to run this if I've got no anti-tank, basically?
And I think one of the things I've always said as well is I think theatre lists generally keep you honest in that, yeah, there's some theatre lists that are wrong, you know. But generally it stops this idea of, well, let's have an early war tank because it's got lots of MMGs, but then let's have Panzerfausts, late war, because that's good. Took a land mattress in there as well for the hell of it. You know?
Good measure, just in case.
Something that would never have happened, you know. So I think theatre lists can keep people on track as a guide, because not everybody in the game is a World War II historian, you know. So you might not know, but at least the theatre lists give you a sort of a building block of what would be roughly seen in that period, in that theatre, from that army, you know. So
I find with theatre lists as well, you're forced more often than not to make a compromise, because you can't take everything that you want or that you would normally take in a generic reinforced platoon. So you have to accept, you know, there may be some units that are going to be weaker, but I'm happy to do that because I get access to other, you know, tanks or artillery or whatever it is.
I mean, from my own personal playing point of view, I don't think I ever with my mates play a generic list. We learnt the game by playing theatre lists. In pickup games between us, it will be, what do you fancy using? And they'll say, you know, X, and then you can go away. I mean, I've got 20 plus armies easily. And then I'll find something that matches that army in that theatre, you know. So it's a historical matchups. So that's what I've always been used to. So I quite like trying to get that going a bit at the Welsh Open as well.
It's grown pretty big now as well, because you've got Firestorm Games. We're talking about that in our very first episode about the Welsh Nationals. How it's just an absolutely cracking venue.
It's perfect, isn't it?
And yeah, so I assume the Welsh Open wasn't always as big in terms of the numbers of players as it is now.
I think it's steadily grown, but from the... So I didn't go to the first one, so you'd have to ask Ian about that one. But from the second one onwards, you were always talking 30-odd players.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, I've capped it at 50.
Yeah.
Simply because that's a lot of tables to
set
up. And, you know, I mean, the room itself could probably cope with because we play on the mezzanine upstairs at Firestorm, and you could probably get another 10 tables, maybe not 10, maybe 8 tables, something like that up there.
Okay.
But that would be tight, and it's just the logistics of setup, really. So it's always been at Firestorm. Last year was the in the new venue, but we were the first tournament at the new venue.
Right, okay.
Which was a real curveball to me as a TO, because that was only decided something like a fortnight before. So we'd set up everything to be in the old venue.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it was changed to the new venue that nobody had seen yet. So you're like, oh, right, okay.
Is that the year that Paul from... who was at Warlord at the time, went to the old venue.
Yeah, he went
mistake.
To the wrong place, didn't he?
And he was late.
he walked, he was quite hot and sweaty by the time he got there. And it's like a million times I'd put up, we're moving, make sure you know the new address. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So Firestorm is it's nice, it's bright, it's airy. Certainly upstairs you can pretty much, if you can say you're bringing that many numbers, they'll just give you the upstairs. Access to Wi-Fi, the food's good. The only fly in the ointment now is it's a product of its own success, Firestorm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So in the old days, you, like the Friday beforehand would just be my manic setup day.
Yeah.
So I would engineer that I'd be working there on the Friday. I'd finish at about 3. I'd just go to Firestorm and set up 20 tables, sort of thing. But they're now so busy on a Friday night for their normal sort of gamers who come in and pay for a table.
Yeah.
But it's pretty limited access for setup. So it means I'm going to have a very bright and early start on the Saturday setting up all those tables, really. So.
And you mentioned, yeah, you've got 50 players potentially, so 25 tables. How many of them are coming from you, Mark, and how many are other people bringing along?
Right. So I think last year I brought 10 probably of those. Over the years, what we've done with the sort of the profit that comes from the event is we've reinvested it in terrain.
Yeah.
And Ian being a local boy with a garage full of gaming stuff, he looks after the tables we've bought.
Sure.
So that's probably another 6, maybe 7.
Okay.
Firestorm do 2 or 3. They've over the years they've got a bit better lately, but they're set up to do 40k stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know about you guys, but my heart sinks when I go to a tournament and I see like rubbish terrain that's obviously repurposed.
Yeah.
40k or fantasy or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they are getting a bit better, so they can provide 3 or 4, and then I've got some guest tables that people. We'll bring in. I know the guys that are up for bringing me some nice tables.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The only issue with that, and it's maybe something that is different to a lot of tournaments, is that I don't do the, not for the Welsh Open anyway. I don't do the this round we're playing this scenario, and every table will have a scenario set for it.
Yeah, that nicely simplifies things. That's what I've found. And it means you can sort of balance it by making sure that the table is suitable for the mission, can't you?
Yes. I won't say, you know, hand on heart, we sometimes get it wrong, but it does mean that if I know what tables I'm taking, I know what scenarios I'm going to use that
year,
and I can play test them beforehand. I can play on that table from both points of view. I can get my mates to give me an opinion of that objective in the wrong place, do we need to move that over? You can play around with them. I mean, I've had my fingers burnt at tournaments before where you're doing really well and you're thinking, right, you know, one more victory, that's, you know, that's me placed. And you walk up to the table and you look at the scenario that you're doing this round and you think, that is never, this table does not work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This scenario. You know, something like an envelopment mission where you've got to get across an unfordable river that's got one narrow bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
So that's different. The other thing that's different that, again, I didn't come up with it was there from the get-go, is that it's not a Swiss pairings. You winners don't play winners.
Yeah.
They just move one table. So there's no blue on blue.
Yeah.
So people buy either an Axis ticket or an Ally ticket, and you're just moving down the tables.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really nice at a tournament when, especially on the Sunday, if you're a bit worse for wear, and you try to find table number 7 in a jungle of 25 tables.
And somebody's already started the game, and then you find out that they're on your table, and you're like,
Whereas just the take a step to the left is brilliant. The other thing I quite like is you can do a cheeky little recce.
Yes.
Early on the Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
you can just look a couple of tables down to see who you'll be facing later in the day.
I remember Topher, bless him, saying to me that he didn't like that because you could plan ahead, but surely that, I've always thought that's quite a good sort of bit of generalship, really, that if you can see what armies are coming and you can, because it's not necessarily obvious because both sides are moving. So you're not playing the person that's sort of diagonally away from you. You're playing the guy that's one over from that.
One over, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's the rookie mistake, isn't it? Doing a recce of the immediate table.
Yeah. So you can look at what army they've got. You can also look at what table they're going to be on. And you can start doing a bit of forward plan, which I think is, you know, that's fine. That's a legitimate play, isn't it? I think, anyway. So
yeah, I enjoy it.
Okay, it means that depending on your draw, you could have a hard time by playing lots of pretty competent players. We might have an easy run through. Mm-hmm. We might have a load of weak players, but.
I mean, the type of tournament it is, for me, it's more about the variety.
Yeah. Yes.
So yeah. I'd be more upset if I went as allies and I played four or five German platoons than I would be if I played the best five or the worst five players.
Yes.
Because the reason I'm going is to see all these theatre selectors, see the weird armies I don't normally get to play, and then also sort of because of the atmosphere. You see all the old faces, you see some new faces, always a good laugh.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, I remember as a player liking. Is that over five games and 2 days, yes, your opponents are moving past you, but say your axis, then the guys to left and right of you on the axis side of the board, they stay the same.
Yeah.
So you get like a bit of camaraderie going between the guys to either side of you, which is nice. I mean, working out where people play their first game, I am involved in it's not totally random, and I'll tell you why it's not totally random. One of the things I try to make sure, because of the sort of the fluffiness of it as a game and as a tournament, I try to make sure that everybody gets at least one game on a table that's appropriate to their army and hopefully against an opponent or two that's appropriate for the list you're bringing.
Mm-hmm.
To try and get those fluffy historical matchups.
Sure.
So I will look for those matchups, and if there's obvious ones, I'll try and put them in and then build around that.
Nice.
So there is a randomizing amount, but the randomizing is what people bring me.
So
if you come with an eighth army and there's somebody brought a DAC army and I've got three or four desert tables, I will do my darndest to try and get that match at some point.
Sure. Yeah. Do you, obviously, Mark, you know, you'll know the players over time and get used to them and their relative strengths. Is there any element of that going on when you do the placings initially and thinking, okay, I've got four or five strong players here, I don't want to put them in a row because, you know, arguably that, you know, a new player, for example, could end up playing four or five strong players.
So I don't change it from the strong player's point of view. If you're a strong player and you have three or four other strong players on the road, then that's just the way it's
going. Absolutely. Yeah.
I know the scene relatively well. So if I know somebody's a newbie, either because I haven't seen their name before or I look at their list and go, ooh, that's a newbie list. When I draw them, if I can see that they're going to play Johnny, then yourself, then Paul Wickens, then Rush Wright, I'll be like, let's move those around a little bit so this poor guy doesn't get his bottom smacked five times on the trot.
Equally, it's quite good to put those new players next to the people who are going to every single tournament
so that
if they ever have an issue, like as you say, the camaraderie, they'll get to meet that person early on. So between games, if there's anything that came up in the last game where they're like, I don't think that was played right, they've already met someone who probably knows the rule.
So by trying to sort of spread the experienced players around a bit as well, that sort of helps, doesn't it? You know, it spreads the knowledge base. So as a TO, it is relatively easy to run, to be honest, the Welsh Open, because there's so many experienced players in the room.
Yeah.
It's rare for me to be pulled over to adjudicate on something.
Yeah.
And it's also because it's very much emphasised in the pack and also by sort of tradition, really.
Mm-hmm.
People know that it's not, you know, a hard-nosed, win-at-all-costs, stomp people with competitive lists.
Yeah.
Not that sort of tournament. So people tend to be quite nice with each other. You know, they know that. They will explain stuff, you know. And, and I'm quite a fan of trying to do, rather than the stick at tournaments, use the carrot as well. So, like, the biggest prize in the Welsh Open, the most value prize, has always been the best sportsman. That's the one we give the top prize to.
Yeah.
I think that's always the way, even at the competitive tournaments. I think the sportsman should always be the top prize because at the end of the day, people are giving up their time, their money to turn up to tournaments. They're there to have a good time. Even if they're trying to win, at the end of the day, you don't want to win with five horrible games. You want to win with five good games that you really enjoy.
Yeah, complete.
I suppose one of the other things I would say about Swiss parents, because, you know, I do all the tournaments and I use Swiss parents, but I often think people think it is the holy grail of like how to do matchups. And it's got its place, but it's also got some big holes in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to play an awful lot of games for it actually to have any form of influence.
Mm-hmm. I know really? What you mean. Like the early rounds, you're bouncing up and down the table.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You get that classic on a single day tournament where you've won two really well and somebody else has won two really well. So you're the top pairings for the final game and you lose and you go from second to like mid-table in one hit.
Yeah, yeah.
So but I think when you've got 50 players, to get an accurate first to 50 scoring. What's that? 8 games, 9 games you'd have to play?
Yeah.
Maybe more? So it will give you first and last relatively easy. But
yeah, sure.
The ones in between, it doesn't really do it unless you're playing an awful lot of games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I quite like the tournaments where you've got a major and a minor victory condition and loss condition because then it does differentiate rather than having sort of 15 players win, 15 draw, 15 lose, which obviously couldn't happen because that's not the number of players. But rather than having that thirds, you'd have sort of players split into 5 packs, which if you are only doing a 3-game tournament, it does help you to differentiate them slightly more.
Yeah, yeah, completely. And that's what the sort of secondary does and those tertiaries. It sort of allows, you know, the clever players to plan in their game, not just winning, but getting the secondary and ticking off two of their tertiaries.
Mm.
Yeah, I love a secondary.
Yeah. We saw that to an extent with the Welsh Nationals where it came down to secondaries for a lot of positions because people were, you know, getting 2 wins, 3 wins. And what was differentiating them was whether or not they got that secondary in that fourth or fifth game, for example.
Yeah.
And throwing in the tertiary in the mix as well, Mark, it further differentiates, doesn't it?
Yeah,
whilst adding, you know, a great element of fun because you are thinking about, well, what have I got so far in my first 3 or 4 games? What, you know, what could I possibly play for in this game in terms of the tertiary?
Yeah. Saying tertiaries, I mean, that's one of the ones where I can use the carrot rather than the stick to encourage people to play nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of the ones I've changed this year, really, although we started to do it a bit last year, is to do a tertiary. I could call it the vanilla slice where, you know, if you have a list that hasn't got a Dacre Stewart and hasn't got a Flamer and hasn't got a multi-launcher, that's something that you can achieve fairly easily. You know, that gives you a tertiary. So it gives those sort of players a freebie point. You know?
Yeah, yeah. That was me last year, guaranteed 1 point because I had the vanilla slice point.
Yeah,
irrespective of what happened in the games.
Yeah, you know, so I'd rather reward it that way than punishing people.
Yeah, yeah.
Just give them something that's easy to achieve.
Well, I mean, my question now, because I'm pretty excited about it, where am I going to buy my ticket?
Right. This is another good thing that I highly recommend, lads, if you are running things, is to try and get a shop to do all the ticketing things so you don't have to worry. So I run several tournaments in a year, and the ones where you're selling the tickets can be a bit of a logistical nightmare. Whereas for the Bolt Action Welsh Open, you just go to Firestorm's website on their events page, and it's all on there, and you just click and buy it through them.
Yeah, and pick up your army at the same time.
Yeah, you could do that. There's my email on there, so if people, you want to know if clarification on the list. There's also the pack on there, which is getting bigger and bigger as I add more and more lists.
Of course.
it's getting fairly chunky.
It'll be FAQ size soon, will it?
God, no. I'd have to be adding way more pages every year, wouldn't I?
And are there any lists or any armies you haven't seen for a while, Mark, that you're looking forward to maybe seeing this year?
I'm an early war fan, if I'm totally honest. So I'd quite like to see more Axis armies for a start.
Right.
There is always that difficulty when you don't do blue on blue.
Yeah.
Because the way the game is at the moment, it's easy to sell allied tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
Because whether allied is stronger, the perception is that it is. So we plump for allied lists fairly easy and quickly. So I'd like to see a bigger spread of Axis, I guess.
Okay.
Rather than just late war Germans. I'd quite like to see some early war Germans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that as a player. If you play allies, it often is sort of three German platoons you end up facing. But it's because of the tanks, isn't it? Because everyone loves the late German tanks.
Yeah, true. So Japanese, I haven't seen many Japanese lists lately.
Okay.
Japanese is pokey.
Yeah.
Really, you know. But also Romanians, Bulgarians, I'd quite like to see lists like that, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Something a bit unusual. Plus, I get some good prize support off Great Escape, who are based in Cardiff. And
right.
They are the go-to for a lot of players who want those sort of offbeat sort of Romanian, Hungarian, stuff like that.
Yeah, their range is lovely for things like that. Like, yeah.
Funny you were mentioning if we're running a tournament, because that was the other reason why I wanted to get you on.
Go on.
Because we are announcing that we will be running the English Open again this year.
Awesome.
So we thought, if you're willing to hang around and tell us what your thoughts are of what we've got planned, we'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries, mate.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So what we're thinking is something, I would say it's stealing your idea, but it's more just, I'd say it's on loan. So we were thinking about doing Axis versus Allies as well, exactly the same, keep it simple. I imagine you approve of that.
I do totally. The only thing to just bear in mind is you're actually running two tournaments effectively when you do no blue on blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're doing both the rankings on each side.
Yeah.
And then you've got your overall ranking as well, haven't you?
Yeah. So make sure you got enough prizes.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
You got to have prizes for both. And Warlord are great at prize support. They're brilliant. Mm-hmm. They will only send you one set of trophies. So then you're like, right. Okay, and one set of certificates, and then you're like, I need two lots of certificates because it's Axis and Allies.
Yeah, that's a good point. They were brilliant last year when we ran the English Open as well, to be fair. So
definitely, yeah.
Big shout out to Warlord for that.
Shout out to Marcus, he's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. He's really done a lot recently with sort of trying to structure the prize support so that everyone gets a good clump, regardless of how big your tournament is.
Yeah, it's so much easier now to ask and get it sent out and everything. Much easier.
Great. So, yeah, so as I say, we're thinking Axis versus Allies. And then something I was really excited about before COVID was there was one point, I believe the Welsh Open was going to be Saturday infantry and then Sunday was going to be a tank war.
Yeah. I didn't come back and revisit that, did I? So, damn, I've missed this opportunity now. It's going to look like I'm copying you.
You announced it. I got really excited about it. I planned both my platoons, bought all the models, and then, of course, COVID happened that year and never got to see it.
Yeah.
So that is something we're doing. So on the Saturday, it'll be three games, infantry platoons, and we will be doing theatres as well. And then on the Sunday, we'll be doing just tank platoons. So three games on the Saturday, two games on the Sunday, because we will be at the Selwig show again.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have a nice long lunch so everyone can get around the traders, go and see what's happening in the main hall, go and see all the like demo games and stuff. And so we could squeeze three games in, but why would we when we'd miss out on the show?
Yeah. There's nothing worse than that. It's being at a show and in a tournament and you actually don't actually get to see the show.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's our rough plans. What do you think? Do you think we could tempt you over?
Well, for me, it's always, you know, work. People tend to put tournaments on in the summer when I'm really busy every weekend. But if I can, that sounds awesome, mate. I like a bit of tank war.
Cool.
Axis Allies, what do you think?
Ooh, for me, how many points?
So it's going to be 1,000 points on the Saturday, and it'll be bigger on the Sunday to allow you to get some of the big tanks in.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. What are you thinking? Are you thinking two Tiger 2s?
No.
Flat no there.
That's a hard pass.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'd quite like desert, I guess.
Okay.
Maybe German, but desert, lots of nice armoured cars and stuff. Panzer III, but not with a million machine guns on, you know, nice normal Panzer III.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe an 88, pulled by something nice and chunky. That'd be good.
Cool.
That'd be scary, wouldn't it? Put an 88 on the board.
Yeah, I love an 88. I love the, I can't remember which book it's in, but there's an 88 platoon where you can have five of them.
Yes, yeah.
Which I'd love to run at some point.
And that's the great thing about events like the Welsh Open and what we're planning is that you can do that. You can take these slightly different and weird and wacky platoons if the selectors allowed. And you said earlier, Mark, about, you know, one of the good things about the Welsh Open is you've got, you know, a lot of the regular players that you recognise from all over the country in tournaments, but they're entering into the spirit of it completely. And that really came through strongly last year, say my first Welsh Open. You know, I recognize so many players who I've seen at more competitive events, but they were taking different nations that they would normally take, or, you know, very much different lists if it was the normal nation they took, and having a great time and helping out, you know, the newer players and so on.
Completely. It is very sort of newbie friendly. I think it's a great celebration of the game, really. Having been to and played in tournaments for other game systems that are quite full on, and, you know, people are very prickly with one another, and you don't really get that generally in bolt action anyway.
No,
but in the sort of the an open, friendly style of play as well, becomes a bit more of a sort of party, really, of like, let's enjoy the game.
Yeah, brilliant. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think I've had more than two or three situations over the times I've been running it where somebody's got a bit tetchy and grumpy.
Okay.
And it tends to be because they haven't sussed that it's a different style of tournament. So they come in with that sort of hard-nosed competitive edge, and then it's not working.
Yeah.
And they're like, ooh.
Yeah, that's not how we're doing it.
Yeah.
Have you added anything to the pack to try and avoid that? Like, really obvious statements that this is not a competitive tournament. This is for the laughs.
I've pretty much worded it in not far off what you've just said. Really. But I think that the benefit that the Welsh Open has is that it's been part of the furniture for a decade now. So people sort of know.
Yeah.
You know, the experienced players that are sort of hard-edged, want to win, competitive, don't come. Or if they do come, they leave that attitude at home, you know.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to come out of this sounding as if I don't respect or enjoy that side of the game. It's just a different side of the game, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, as we were saying earlier, you don't want to go to the same tournament every time. That you want that variety, don't you? You want to turn up and it's something new to the last time you were there, because, as I say, you spend your time and money, so it gets, you don't want to just go to the same dull tournament every weekend. These interesting ones are like really good for just a different weekend. Have a nice, enjoyable time. Go and see all the old faces. Really laugh it up.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, it's just generating that atmosphere, and it will grow.
Brilliant. Okay. So we didn't mention the date. When is Selwig?
Oh, yeah. So Selwig's show is on the 15th of October. So that's a Sunday. It's a one-day show. The English Open's going to be, obviously, the Saturday, the 14th as well. So it's the 14th and 15th of October weekend. And obviously, when you buy a ticket to the tournament, you'll get free entry to the show. hopefully we'll have an absolute belter weekend. It is up, because we didn't talk about the location either. It's North London. It's Lee Valley Athletic Centre. So it's just outside of Enfield, I believe, or in Enfield itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy access from the M25.
Yeah.
And last year when we did it, we stayed in some lovely little pods.
We did.
Didn't we? Little cabins.
Little,
it was lovely.
Camping pods, yeah.
Can we tempt you to the pod, Mark?
Oh, definitely.
We'll have a little barbecue in October. Right. I think I've asked you everything I wanted to ask you, Mark. Was there anything else you want to tell us about?
I was going to ask you about your event, really. When you come to pick your army, so you, with your infantry list on the first day, do you have to have the same nation on the second day, or can you just stick with Axis or Allies?
The idea is we'll stick with the Axis and Allies, but I did think about keeping it the same nations because I thought it'd be quite nice to then have sort of the best minor nations player, the best. But the problem there, I thought, is if someone wants to run those big tanks on the Sunday, but they want to run something like the Greeks on the Saturday.
Yeah, yeah, you're a bit stuffed then, aren't you?
Yeah.
Or Dutch.
Yeah, or the Dutch. Yeah, yeah. Right, okay.
Yeah, unless we added a special rule that was just captured vehicles where you could steal the vehicles from the country that invaded, basically.
Oh, it sounds good.
I'm really looking forward to it. To be honest, I wish I could play in it because I've always wanted to do the tank platoons at a tournament.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I might revisit that again next year then, because I like doing something a little bit different if I can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe we'll swap next year.
Yeah. I'll tell you, as a TO, one of the good things that you'll get, one thing that people probably don't appreciate as just a player, you're busy all day, but the TO, particularly if you've done your planning and everything, you're busy for about 10 minutes every 2.5 hours. So you've got a lot of time to kill, so if you're in a shop or you're in a show, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, 100%. The especially at these sort of like the open style tournaments where everyone is playing in the best spirits, you're not even getting the rules disputes that much, really.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good luck with it, lads.
Brilliant,
cheers,
thank
very
you.
Much. Did we say the date of the Welsh Open, by the way?
It's the 16th and 17th of September.
16th and 17th of September. So I suppose as long as it's not your wedding anniversary, there's no excuse not to get there.
Well, you better get in quick if you want tickets and haven't got one. So
yeah, I need to get mine.
Have you not got yours? Oh, Johnny,
no,
come on.
I do this every year. Every year, I know I'm going to go as soon as it's announced. And every year, I then wait a couple of weeks while I decide which side of the war I'm going to be on.
Okay.
I'm like Italy. You know what I mean? I'm just waiting to see who's on top and then I'm going to jump in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm looking at it now, Mark. There are, as of today, 7 Allied tickets left and 11 Axis. So,
all right, that's good.
Yeah, tickets are looking good. And they are available from the battlefields.co.uk or Firestorm events. Yeah,
yeah. I'll bang the link in the description. I think I'm going to go Axis, you know, because I think that recce platoon I was talking about, one of the things that got me back into it, because I have tried it before, and one of the things that got me thinking about building it back up again and getting it all fully painted nicely was the Welsh Open, because I saw you added it this year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was that especially for me? Was it to try and tempt me back to the exercise?
I would like to say yes, because I love you, but no, it wasn't. I just thought that would be quite a nice one to add in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's lovely. I just wish the half tracks weren't so expensive.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I painted all these Hanamics when I first started playing. I hardly ever use them, really. So
yeah.
It would be nice if they were a bit cheaper. You're a golden player, actually, Johnny. You need a couple of guys like you for your tournament, in that you're quite happy to, at the last minute, to swap sides, aren't you?
Yeah, I think I did that last year, didn't I?
Yeah, so as a tip, try and get a couple of people on your list that will be able to do that, because however well you prepare, somebody will throw you a curveball with getting COVID or the plague or being posted to some war zone or...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The car will break down or something, and then suddenly this fine-tuning you've done to get the match-ups and the... equal sides and all that will suddenly be thrown at the last moment. So having a couple of well-placed people that you can go, do you want to go Axis for me? It's a godsend.
Yeah, well, funnily, the reason that I've got a few different armies rather than just one nation is because of tournaments like the Welsh Open, where when you're not doing your usual tournament, you think, well, why not just start a new army? Like, just a single platoon, I'll see how it plays, just to try something new. And so I think most of the boys who've been playing a long time, they've all got, like, three or four or five different nations, haven't they?
Yeah. I think that's one of the beauties of it as a system, isn't it? It's relatively easy to get 1,000 points, you know, so it's not the most expensive of games to get into either, so.
No, not at all, no.
So you get your one, and then you're seeing somebody playing something unusual, and you think, oh. Or you win a prize. That's the other way people get in, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I've got a box of Japanese. Right, what am I going to do?
Yeah, the starter boxes get you every time.
Yeah.
Because once you've got all your infantry and everything, you might as well buy a tank and have an army at that point.
Exactly.
I mean, that's one of the ways I started was I did just buy loads of the US Marines, and I was just running Marines on foot, basically. No tanks. And I think the whole army was just one or two infantry boxes. So you're right, it is really easy to get into.
Yeah, I mean, one plastic box set of infantry, you're more than halfway there, aren't you?
Right, well, it's been cracking talking to you again. As I say, I'll put the links all in the description, and I'm really looking forward to this year. I think it'll be a really good one.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
Cheers very much for coming on, Mark.
Nice one, thanks for inviting me. It's nice to have the honour of being the first one.
The honour's all ours.
You sweet talking devil.
Ta-ta.
Ta-ta. Cheers, Mark.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers. Ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta for now.
Thank you.